The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Welcome to the interview with Hugh Hewitt, sponsored by AndrewandTodd.com. Andrew and Todd are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They help you with all your real estate lending needs. If you're refinancing your home, if you're buying a new home, if you're a senior who wants a reverse mortgage, if you're a veteran who doesn't want to put any money down, whatever it is, if you're in the private real estate market for yourself, and maybe you want an investment property, try AndrewandTodd.com or call 888-888-1172. Now on to the interview with Hugh Hewitt. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. The interview today is with Senator Rick Scott. He is from Florida, of course. He is also the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which you can find at NRSC on Twitter at NRSC or at NRSC.org. He is in charge of winning back the Senate majority. And I can tell you, we do this once a month, but in the intervening month, I had a chance to meet with a bunch of Republican senators, and they all say Rick Scott is a dynamo, that he is doing an amazing job raising money, awareness, and identifying the issues that matter. He coined the term about the Democrats. They have embraced systemic socialism, which I think every Republican ought to use. Welcome back, Senator Scott. Good to have you on the interview today.
That's great. It's great to be with you, Hugh. We're going to have a great 22. If you look at what the Biden agenda is, it's not where Americans are. I mean, we want a secure border. We want our schools open. We want to have energy independence. We don't want to, you know, have the Democrats control all the elections. This is, and you saw the latest $6 trillion. $6 trillion for infrastructure.
It is terrible, but Senator, it's terrible, but it's not as bad as your connection. I don't know if you're on a speaker or if you're walking around.
No, I'm on a speaker.
Okay.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, but you may have to slow down. You get to the window. That's the I hate it when I have a great interview and the audience gets to hear a third. $6 trillion in spending, is that what the Democrats have proposed?
Yeah. I mean, first off, we're only going to collect $3.5 trillion in federal receipts, which is a great amount of money, right? So the budget is $6 trillion, and now they have an infrastructure bill for another $6 trillion. On top of, they already spent $2 trillion in March. I mean, they're going to bankrupt this country. We're already seeing significant inflation. It's going to hurt every family, but especially the poor families like mine growing up and people on fixed income. They can't afford this country anymore. I mean, it's just, the Democrats are killing us. This is systemic socialism, redistribution of wealth, high taxes, Green New Deal, take away our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights. This is, I mean, the Democrats are going to elect all Republicans next year. That's what they're doing for us.
Now, last night, I was at the Republican Study Committee gathering for their annual consensus conference on what to advance. And Chip Roy stood up and made an impassioned set of remarks, which I really agree with, which is that the national debt is approaching $30 trillion. If interest rates go up, Senator, and they will go up in an inflationary environment, probably not till 2023, but they're going to go up, payments on the debt will eat up the federal budget. It will crush the military. Do you think the voter understands the consequences of this sort of out of control? This is, by the way, it's not like spending under Trump. It's not like spending under Obama. It's not like spending under Bush. This is a order of magnitude more reckless, maybe two orders of magnitude more reckless, like the difference between a 4.0 earthquake and a 6.0 earthquake. Do you think voters understand that?
More every day. Over 80% of Americans have already had to tighten their belts because of inflation. Inflation is always caused by reckless government spending. So put it in perspective. Okay, we're going to be at $30 trillion for the debt pretty soon. The average 10-year interest rate for treasuries is over 5%. That means that just the interest expense is $1.5 trillion, right, on a revenue base of $3.5 trillion. This is not sustainable. More and more Americans see that the Democrats' spending plans make no sense and it will bankrupt our country. They know it.
Now, Senator, let me ask you a question about the 10-year Treasury this morning is at 1.511%. Are you projecting a rise in that treasury to 5%? Is that what you're afraid of?
If you, who knows what it's going to get to? Let's say it gets to 3%. Okay.
Yeah.
That's 900. That's a fourth. That's more than a fourth of federal receipts will just go to interest. So we don't know what it's going to go to. But look at the inflation numbers. Okay. CPI, consumer price index, up 5%. Producer price index over almost 6.6%. So you see gas up 50%. Bread up 7%, milk up 9%. You look at all these things. It costs poor families in this country the ability to put food on the table. That's exactly what it's doing. And ultimately, inflation causes higher interest expense. And so, who knows when it'll happen? It will happen.
I believe, by the way, that will impact 2022. I think I'm figuring out as well. You, like me, talk fast, Senator, but you, like me, do not have a professional microphone, so you have to slow down or we're going to lose every other word. I love systemic socialism. I also want to talk about what I learned at the Republican Governors Association. They're defining voting reform at the states as making it easy to vote and hard to cheat. S1 is a unconstitutional usurpation of states' rights. And Joe Manchin's compromise is as unconstitutional in many of its provision as the Democrats' major bill. Do you see it getting out of the Senate? Because it is simply unconstitutional to take away redistricting from the states and to oblige the states to follow their rules when it comes to state elections.
Well, it's unconstitutional, first off. So I'm optimistic it won't pass as long as we keep the filibuster. Okay, it will not pass. There's not 10 Republicans. There's not like one Republican that will vote for it. But here's the thing about what it's doing. It says you cannot ask people for an ID. They say Democrats think that's racist. It's not. They say that, by the way, we're going to take your tax dollars and we're going to give it to candidates. Chuck Schumer will get $44 million. The candidate in the Senate candidate in California will get $80 million of your tax dollars to run campaign ads to make sure they win. That can't be what Americans want. I know it's not when you look at a poll. So we can't be doing this. So I'm optimistic that there's not one Republican that will vote for this. I'm hoping that Joe Manchin will not vote for this. I hope Kristen Sinema will not vote for this. But this is the Democrats' plan. Is to make sure that it's not that we have free and fair elections, we have elections only won by Democrats.
Now, Senator, let's turn to the map, because you have control of this map better than anybody. You know what's going on. I want to start with Republican seats that are held by incumbents who are facing stiff opposition or those that are vacant. I want to begin with Alaska. If I were in Alaska, I would vote for Lisa Murkowski. I agree with her about 85% of the time. We disagree about 15% of the time. Ronald Reagan defined that as an ally, not an opponent. I think you have already weighed in Alaska on behalf of Senator Murkowski. I hope you continue to do so. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Lisa is a hard worker. I mean, we're not all going to agree on everything, but she works hard for the state of Alaska. So she has a primary. She has a Republican primary. Now, they have a ranked choice. They've changed their voting to be they'll have the top four people will come out of the first round. And then if no one gets 50%, then it'll be the top three. If nobody gets 50%, the top two. And then somebody will get 50%. So I think Lisa's going to win. It looks like it's going to be hard fought. But here's where we got to make sure. We got to make sure Ron Johnson runs in Wisconsin. He will win. He has not announced if he's going to run or not. We've got to make sure Chuck Grassley runs in Iowa. He will have a big win if he runs. And then we have five open Republican seats. We will win Alabama. We will win Missouri. We will win Ohio. I think we're going to have a harder time in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, but we will win. It'll be harder there. And then we're going to pick up probably three, maybe four. We'll pick up Georgia. Warnock does not represent Georgia. He represents New York. Kelly in Arizona is voting 100% of the time with Schumer. He should move to New York because that's not Arizona. Haslam is not popular in New Hampshire. If Chris Newton runs, we have a big win there. And then I think Adam Laxalt's going to run in Nevada, and I think we'll have a big win there. Cortez Masto only won by 2% 4 years ago. So I think it's going to be a wave Republican, We just have to make sure we get good candidates out of our primaries.
Let me talk a little bit about the Republican seats first. And I agree with you that Ohio is going to stay red, and almost any of the nominees will make that so. I believe in Missouri that we could nominate the wrong person. Leader McConnell was my guest on Monday, and Leader McConnell said they will be the Senate Leadership Committee, which is different from yours. You do not get involved in primaries where there is no incumbent. I want people to understand that. You just stay away from primaries where there's no incumbent. When there's an incumbent, you support them. So I think we're in danger in Missouri. Pennsylvania, I just don't know. There are a couple of candidates in North Carolina. I just don't know. What is the recruitment like in those two states, Pennsylvania, North Carolina? Because they're good. Eric Schmidt in Missouri is a great candidate, the attorney general. In Ohio, there are a couple of good candidates, and I'll be happy with almost anyone they nominate. But I don't know much about Pennsylvania and North Carolina. Are there? I know former President Trump endorsed Ted Budd. I know Mark Walker's a good guy. The former governor's down there. Will any of those win?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're going to win North Carolina. Look, we won in North Carolina. Byrd won in 16. Tillis won in 14 and 20. I think Ted Budd's a great candidate. Mark Walker's a great candidate. Governor Pat McCrory, who I served with as governor, he's a great candidate. So we'll win there. In Pennsylvania, I think we're going to have a great win. They've got a great state party. We won down ticket. We unfortunately didn't win the presidency, but we won down ticket in Pennsylvania. We've got Jeff Bartos running. We've got Captain Barnett running. We've got Sean Parnell running. So we've got strong candidates in Pennsylvania. There might be more. Carlos Sands, who used to be the ambassador in Denmark, is looking at getting in. We're going to have a good primary, and then we're going to have a big win because Pennsylvania has turned red. We just have to run a good race.
Now, here in Pennsylvania, I know Attorney General Josh Shapiro. I respect him. We get along fine. He's a Democrat, but he's a formidable candidate, and we're in an uphill battle on the governor's side. Can you teach voters to ticket split, even if they like Shapiro a lot? Can you teach them to ticket split for the goal of getting a Republican majority back? Because the Supreme Court handed down a major win for religious liberty yesterday, one that we should celebrate, one that's possible because Leader McConnell held open the Scalia seat vacancy through the election year, and President Trump nominated and the Senate confirmed three great justices. So we got a huge religious liberty win yesterday. Does that matter to voters in places like Pennsylvania where they might vote for a Democratic governor? Can we get them to vote for a Republican senator?
Absolutely. What you have to do is you have to run. I mean, the candidate has to run a good race. And you got to give people a purpose. I won my races because I gave people a purpose. It was a clear choice. You vote for my opponent, this is what you get. If you vote for me, this is what you get. So that's why I believe we can win all across this country, but we have to be clear about why people should vote for us. Don't just say, oh, I'm a Republican, I'm a good person. No, you have to, what are you going to do to make my life better? That's what the voter expects.
Now, let's go to where the pickups are, and I want to work through each of them. And I'm going to start in reverse order here. In Nevada, I've known Adam Laxalt, veteran, terrific lawyer. Of course, Paul Laxalt's name goes a long way in the Silver State, and he should have won the last time when he ran for governor. I'm glad he's in this race, but is he in the race yet? I'm on live right now in Vegas, so the gamblers are coming out of the casino and people are going to work. So let's talk to. I hope Adam Laxalt gets in. I think he can win the Latino vote, actually. What do you think?
Well, first of all, Adam Laxalt's not in the race. I think he's a great candidate. I hope he gets into the race. And by the way, Hispanic voters are going to vote Republican. You can go to nrsc.org/poll, and you can see our poll on Hispanics. They are Republicans. They're aspirational. They want jobs. They're fed up with the public school system, which is controlled by the Democrats, and they want to live in safe communities. Sounds just like Republicans. But we've got to go out and talk to them. I win the Hispanic vote. Every Republican can win the Hispanic vote if they get out there and talk to them. So Adam Laxalt, there's others talking about it. I think I'm optimistic that he'll get in the race, and I know he will beat Cortez Masto if he gets in the race.
I agree with you. And Adam, if you're listening, please, you know, it's not easy to go back into the fray when you're making money, but please do it. Now let's go to New Hampshire. This is a lock. I was at the Republican Governors Association, saw Chris Sununu in a panel. There was a reference made and there was spontaneous applause. He's been a great governor. He got the Sununu name. New Hampshire knows him. I mean, what are the odds he gets in? Because that's a pickup. That's a win. Because Hassan just isn't doing it. I mean, she's really the least inspiring New Hampshire senator in a long time.
I think I'm optimistic. I think Chris is going to get in. I think that he cares about this country. He's been a great governor. But I think the reason he's going to get in is when you sit down with Chris Sununu, you know, this guy cares about the country. He puts country first. So I think he's going to get in. And when he gets in, it's a clear pickup because Hassan is not, she's not done a great job. She doesn't have good faith, unfaith. So Chris would win. He's a very popular governor. So I'm optimistic that Chris is going to get in and we will win.
Now, let's talk about Georgia at length, because this is a difficult state to understand. Georgia, Raphael Warnock is as far left as we said he would be. I mean, I told this audience, and I'm on in 9 stations in Atlanta, the largest radio show in Atlanta, number one or number two talk show every single morning. And I told them, and they got to get out, but stuff happened, and Raphael Warnock is their senator. Like John Ossoff, who I just laugh at whenever I see him on TV, it's like having Eddie Haskell, if people are old enough to remember it, as your senator. In any event, Pastor Warnock is radical. He's so out of step with Georgia. But you can't beat someone, and he is someone with great rhetorical skills, with no one. And I don't know who's running there, Senator.
I think Warnock is the Doug Jones of this cycle. He doesn't represent Georgia. He clearly represents New York. 100% vote with Chuck Schumer. We've got a Navy SEAL, Latham Sadler, great guy. We got a businessman and veteran, Kelvin King. We've got the Ag Commissioner, Gary Black. So we've got 3 already announced. I think some people are waiting to see what Herschel Walker does. I've talked to all these candidates, including Herschel Walker. I don't know if he's going to get in. If he gets in, he'll be a great candidate. But if he doesn't, there's going to be more people that get into that race. So we're going to have a great primary. We're going to get somebody really good that's going to have a great name ID by the time the primary is over. In the meantime, what we're doing at the NRSC is we're defining Raphael Warnock. We're running ads, and we're showing people how radical this guy is. Giving stimulus checks to felons. He doesn't care about Georgia. He cares. He voted against the military spending in Georgia. I mean, it's fascinating. This guy does not represent. He doesn't represent this country. On top of not representing Georgia.
He is very, I think he may be the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He is the squad's designated representative in the Senate. I mean, he is that liberal. And there are a couple others who tie with him, but he is that far to the left. So in Georgia, the key to me is, you know, Governor Kemp was my guest when I was down in Nashville. He made a very, you know, he's a very aw shucks guy, and he's very smart. And he made a good argument for why the Georgia voting reform would make it easy to vote and hard to cheat. And, of course, mainstream media wants to paint that as, quote, voter suppression, which is shorthand for vote Democrat. And Ted Cruz yesterday said, I quote here, CNN is the left arm of the Democratic Party. Can we get a fair hearing for what Republicans at the states are doing, which is to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat, especially in Georgia, especially for the Kemp signed bill, Senator Scott?
Absolutely. The NRSC is involved in the lawsuits where the left is fighting over the election reforms that improve your chance to vote, but eliminates your chance to cheat. So we're involved in Georgia lawsuits, Florida lawsuits, and Iowa lawsuits. We're going to defend these election securities laws, and we're not going to allow there to be settlements that basically take away they dilute your individual vote. We're not going to let that happen. So I think we're going to have a big win in Georgia. Georgia is not Raphael Warnock. I mean, David Perdue represented Georgia. I mean, he cared about the state. He focused on the state. I just don't see any reason why we're going to lose there.
You know, I would love if you could recruit Sonny Perdue to come back. Now, I love Sonny Perdue. He was one of my favorite guests during the Trump administration because he's a natural on radio, right? He can tell a joke. He can mirror the host. He can do all the things you need done on radio. Any chance you get Sonny to get out of the rocking chair? Because that man's a young, whatever he is, 65, 68, 70. I don't know what he is. But can you get him out of the retirement home and say, come on, you got work to do?
I think Sonny's been asked a bunch of times, and so far he said no. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, we got plenty of time, and think about what's happening right now. You across the country, people are saying, "Hey, I want to get in. I know Republicans are going to have a great year. I talked to the National Republican Congressional Committee. They're very excited about 22, just like I am. You can see that independents and Republicans are heading in the right direction. Independents are heading our way fast. They're not going to vote on this liberal, radical left agenda. So if we get our message out with a good candidate, we're going to have a great 22, and so will the National Republican Congressional Committee.
All right, now let me close by talking about Arizona. And I love Arizona for years. They were across the border, and Doug Ducey would come over and put sticky tape on his fingers and take our businesses away. He even took my Congressman John Campbell to Arizona. And I no longer can hold fundraisers or contribute to candidates because of my role at NBC and the Washington Post. But I can still tell people what I think. And the only person I have ever held a fundraising for in my home with the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt is Doug Ducey. And I just think he's one of the great governors and great public servants of our time. He is not running for Senate, and I'm very disappointed. Have you given up on him?
No.
Good.
If you're a sitting governor with the approval that Doug Ducey has, there's no rush to get into the race. But if he doesn't, we already have a businessman with that running ads already, Jim Lehman, a veteran. We've got Mick McGuire, who used to be the head of the Arizona National Guard. We've got Attorney General Mark Brunovich, they've all announced. We've got Blake Masters, I think, considering it, and so is Andy Biggs. So, by the way, my job in the meantime is to find Mark Kelly. How does this guy vote? He ran a race like he's this common sense guy, middle of the road. No, he votes 100% of the time. Whatever Chuck Schumer says, Mark Kelly says, jump. If Schumer says jump, Mark Kelly says how high. He voted against border security. He voted to give checks to illegal immigrants. He voted to give checks to felons. He does not represent Arizona. And we're going to make sure that all these four pickups every day, we are defining who they are. They don't want people back in the home state to know how liberal they are.
Now, I know you are a fundraising machine, Senator Scott, because your colleagues have told me that. And people can go to nrsc.org if they want to contribute. But tell us about how people get in touch with you when they want to make larger donations, because they're not limited to whatever the federal limit is per individual candidate with you. And they ought to get involved now. How do they do that? How do they find Rick Scott?
So first off, if you want to give money to NRSC, if you just go to nrsc.org, guess what? The first 5 months of this year, we had 500,000 individual donors.
Wow.
500,000 individual donors. I'm sorry, individual donations. So people are showing up. They want to help us. We're adding, just in May, we had 10,000 new donors. 10,000 new donors just in 1 month. So people want to do it. So if you just reach out, if you send a text, you can get on there on nrsc.org and send a text or email to me. I'll call you back. I'll talk to you and tell you why what we're doing. We will not waste your money. We are doing it to win elections. We are raising so much money online right now that the larger donations, the online money is covering all of our costs, way more than our costs. So all the larger donations will go directly to making sure we win elections.
So if they want to make a larger donation, do they also go to nrsc.org?
You could do it that way, or just send us an email. There's an email contact thing on there, and I'll call them back.
Now, I want to talk about the organization you are building. I've met your staff. It's remarkable staff at every level. I know what they're doing. When you are up and running in Georgia, ads to define correctly, Senator Warnock is very, very radical. Who is working with you? I think I saw him again last night, but who is helping you organize the strategery on this?
Well, we've got a variety of consultants. What we've done is we have a variety of people by state, consultants around the country. There's a group called On Message that's been doing our polling, and they've been doing the ads that we put up so far. But we'll be working with a variety of consultants all over the country. Somebody, they know more about Georgia, they know more about a certain state than others. And so we have a variety of people helping us. I'm excited. You can see that we're going to win. You can see all the movement in our direction. Everybody knows that the Biden agenda is so left radical that the independents can't vote with them anymore. It's just our job, good candidates, raise our money, run good races.
There's a lot of energy. I want to close by telling you about energy. Every time I go out and do a speech that's not political, and that's the only kind of speeches that I can do, or are policy, non-political speeches, when I do them, the energy is on the Republican side, Senator. President Biden did not end up being the moderate he promised. He promised a center, maybe center-left, and it's a hard-left, squad-driven, progressive Kamala Harris agenda at the border. We haven't even talked about the border. The border drives a lot of people. China scares everybody. And I just think that our messaging has got to be up to the moment because the energy is there. Do you agree with me that those issues, immigration, the border, big tech, these are, and spending, it's the Reagan issues, and religious liberty. Oh, yeah. We won a huge victory for religious liberty yesterday, and judges depend on the Senate, and people got to understand it. Their religious liberty depends upon the Senate going back into Republican control.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at people, what do people care about? They care about their faith. They care about their jobs. They care about their kids' education. They want to be safe, and they want America's freedom. And so you can go to nrc.org/poll and see all the polls that we're putting out. They'll show you that independents, Democrats, Hispanics, they're all heading in our direction. So we can win if we just good candidates, good race, run a good race, raise our money, and we'll win.
Good to talk to you, Senator Scott. I'll talk to you next month, once a month, until the Senate is back in Republican hands. And I appreciate your efforts, nrsc.org. You can read about all the map there. Senator Scott, have a great day.
Bye-bye, Hugh.
Bye-bye. That concludes today's episode of The Interview with Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening. Make sure you come back and check out all the other podcasts on the Salem Podcast Network. And remember to thank our sponsors, andrewandtodd.com. If you believe in long-form interviews like I do, then do your real estate transactions with Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian. I've known both men for a long time. andrewandtodd.com. Go there, answer a couple of questions. They'll tell you what's best to do with your house, or call them at 888-888-1172. You'll be glad you did, and you'll be glad that you listened to the next episode of The Interview.